Ladies and gentlemen, let's do this.
Hey, it's the, what show are we doing? The Valhalla Lounge.
Valhalla Lounge.
Oh, hey, Matt.
Hey, what's up, Eric? How are you?
I'm not bad.
Good. It's, you had a birthday.
I did. I turned 21.
You full of shit.
I went.
I won't say how old you are because
nobody knows.
But you are full of shit.
Oh, I'm at least 30. Let's just go with that.
Okay. See, I'm 30, and I'll admit being 30.
Yeah.
You're older than me.
Well, 30 is the new 30.
30 is the new 30. They keep saying that. Like, when I turn 40, it's going to be, 40 is the new 20.
Mm.
And I'll be like, it doesn't mean, like, when I was 20, I didn't do shit. So you're telling me at 40, I'm going to get, like, hand jobs from 20-year-olds? It's not going to happen.
No, it's, well, I think you get a certificate. It was in the men's handbook when I learned the handshake and everything. So
But isn't that now kind of been sullied by How I Met Your Mother with the bro code?
You know, you can never get past the man's handbook because it's thousands of years old. So the bro code is just a little bit newer. Although
like,
I had to,
I
brought
secret,
up the
right?
bro code the other day. I was on set and I didn't get my call time until like right fucking that morning. I knew I had to shoot, but they didn't. I thought it was a night shoot, and they called me. I called them at 10 o'clock, and I'm like, "Hey, I haven't heard from the AD does the crew sheets," and he texts me. He's like, "Yeah, can you be here at noon?" And it was like 10 o'clock. I went to bed at like 3 a.m. and I was like, "No, I'm gonna be there by 2. And he's like, "Okay, 2 works." And I roll in. I get there a little early. We didn't even start shooting until like 5, so it didn't even matter. But I walked up to him and he's like, "Man, I'm so sorry." I'm like, "Dude, I'm not upset about that. What I'm upset about is my wife was supposed to fuck me this morning, but because," and I'm not talking about screw me over, I'm talking about literal intercourse, "and I didn't get that because you screwed up my call time. So you broke number one rule of the bro code of another guy not being able to get laid because of something you did. And that's inexcusable." And the entire day on set, whenever I saw him, I'm like, "I'm still not getting laid." And he would walk away. So I had to diffuse the situation with that. So that's my bro code story.
So you went in there frustrated. You went in there like a buster, built up sexual tension.
No, actually, I did. I was on my way to the set and I was like really jazzed. And the thing about the movie that I can't talk about is the person who is the lead has a very, they're a celebrity and they act accordingly.
Okay.
There's certain ways the celebrities act, and some people say it's BS, and other people say they're entitled, but they just kind of follow their own schedule sometimes, and they want things the way they want to do. These people with 3 names in their name, and I decided I need to go in with the best attitude possible because I know it's going to be a stressful situation, and I am not the star. I am not. I have a nice part, but I do get catered to, which is kind of cool. Because I was like signing autographs on the set. It was like the weirdest thing.
How would you sign something like that? Because people know who you are in certain circles, but in that particular circle, were you just going after going like, I'm this person?
You know what I did? I at one point I almost went like, "You have no idea who I am." But honestly, and a lot of them were kids.
Yeah,
and I'd say of all the people who were there who were kids, and one person thought I was Chris Hemsworth. I always get it. Is it Hemsworth?
Hemsworth.
She thought I was Chris Hemsworth, and I was like, "No, I'm not him. He's not here." You don't want to break. It's like you don't want to hurt these kids' feelings. It's like they look up at you and they're like, "He's making a movie. He's doing this. He's doing that," and it's like you don't want to crush them. They just enjoy the fact they're talking to someone who makes movies, And we're shooting in like Koreatown, and they were actually at one point they had to stop the production because there was a police helicopter. They were looking for 2 gunmen. And they actually told us, "Okay, you have to shut down. You have to get everybody back for a little bit." And there were cop cars, and it wasn't a great area. But with these kids, it's like, so what I did is I would sign my name. And if you've ever seen my signature, it's like I could have been a doctor. You cannot read. And I have a little drawing of, I call him Little Angry, which is if you've seen the little cartoon character that I put on my stuff. And I draw a quick little character there, and I write the Angry Viking next to it. And they look at it, and they're like, "There's a little cartoon character." They're like, "Oh, this is cool." And they run off, I'm like, "Well, one day you'll know who I am, and that'll be cool. But for right now, I put a smile on a kid's face."
You're like, "One day, so that'll be worth money on eBay."
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
One day, when eBay is no longer around.
Yeah, that day's coming soon. So, but anyway, that's my story there. We got to get to the news. But it's we're recording this on Thursday. We're trying to record things on Monday, so the news thing is all screwed up. So
yeah.
It's about being positive. So what I have three news stories we're going to run through real quick here.
Okay. So and, we're not really going to be as angry as we
no,
could
I'm
be.
I'm going to try and be positive on these. Okay. And there's also a running theme through all three of them, and I'm going to see at the end if you can pick up the running theme.
I will do my best, sir.
Okay. Coffee is down. Here we go.
All right.
First ones, Chris Humphries. We all know Chris Humphries. I don't watch basketball, but I know him because he was married to Kim Kardashian for like 47 minutes, right?
Oh, that's where I know that name from?
Yeah.
I don't watch basketball either, yeah. So.
Well, apparently Mr. Humphries has been accused of giving a woman herpes.
That he got from Kim Kardashian?
Well, they're not saying. Now, here's the thing. She said that they're a little fuzzy on the dates and like who and when and here. But here's the thing, if you got to think about it. Kim is now with Kanye, and if Chris got the herps, either got them from this woman or gave them to this woman, he had them before he was married to Kim, which means Kim, he gave them to Kim. She has to have them. The gift that keeps on giving.
It is a gift that keeps on giving, however.
Kanye's got them too, you got to think about it.
Well, Kanye probably puts his dick in a lot of different things.
He had them already.
He probably, he's just like, just throw it on the list. Got syphilis. I got herpes. You know, he gets up
write
there
a song about it.
He gets up there at the STD awards, you know, and like gonorrhea's winning, and he runs up on stage. He's like, hold on, I'll let you finish. I just gotta say this. Clap, everybody has the best STD of the year, y'all. And that's it. That's what he does. Because he's an attention whore, and he's just like, I got it. My dick hurts so much to pee, but I'm thankful for Jesus.
Jesus. I pray for my friends. It's not the fact that he's getting sued, because I wouldn't be surprised how many NBA players have got something or whatever, yeah. You know, more power to him. I'm not fucking him. But it's just funny that if he did get it and he gave it to her and now Kanye, I mean, it's, you don't just sleep with the person you're sleeping with. You sleep with everybody they've ever slept with.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be funny if it comes out that that he really did give him or get him from this woman. I mean, they may never talk about it, but we're men of the world. We know how it works. So good luck with that, Kanye. Maybe there's a cream. So another one, a man was killed. I don't know if you saw this story. A man was killed trying to do a Sasquatch hoax.
No, I didn't hear about that at all.
He dressed up like a... he put on this suit, and he tried to run out in front of some cars and do like Sasquatch running the highway, and they wanted to film it and try and, you know, like the fake and get some publicity.
Yeah.
He got hit by a car. Apparently, actually, it looks like he got hit by two cars, and it killed him. So this guy, I mean, he's just, I guess he had to run out at night and because he didn't have the balls to do it during the day and actually do something. So.
Aim to survive, you know?
He did, man. He's a dead hoaxer.
Where'd this happen at?
I don't have the story pulled up. I want to say it was Oregon.
God, that sounds like my home state.
Yeah.
I mean, well, no, in Oregon, in southern Oregon, right, down by Medford, in one of the state parks down there, there's actually a government-sanctioned Bigfoot trap.
Montana. I'm sorry. It wasn't Oregon. But Montana's not that far off because they've got some wacky stuff up there, too.
Okay, yeah. Well, Montana, I think, has got maybe a collective population of like 3 million people, so... And a shit ton of oil reserves. But no, in Oregon, there is actually a government-built Bigfoot trap. And it's basically a shed. And they had the door on it. It was like they had a tripwire. So if Bigfoot entered and hit the tripwire, the door would shut, locking Bigfoot in.
And they've never caught one.
Well, they built it in the 70s, and they never caught one. And so I think like in the 80s, they kind of said, all right, this is maybe a little bit dangerous if someone walks in here. So what we're going to do is we're just going to permanently keep the door open. So it's still there. It hasn't been demolished or torn down. It's still there. But it's just, it's open. So the next time I go, I drive up to Oregon, which if my grandmother doesn't really do very well. That could be any time now. I kind of want to stop by, you know, which I know sounds horrible. It's like, oh, grandma, I'm so sad. You're not feeling very well. Hold on. I gotta go to Southern Oregon and check out a Bigfoot trap, you know. Or
we grew up, like I grew up in Washington. So, I mean, Bigfoot, it's just cultural.
It's just cultural.
You
yeah,
grow up
you know,
with
it.
It's like if you grew up in Roswell, New Mexico, you just grow up with aliens.
Man.
We just grew up Bigfoot and D.B. Cooper. Yeah, they're just part of our life growing up.
Yeah. Well, see, no.
People are like, who the fuck is D.B. Cooper?
See, I was born in 82, and I know D.B. Cooper happened in like 76 or 78 or something.
Yeah.
But I know the story well because when you live in the area, it's like, and no one really talked about it. Like, this is the site where we believe D.B. Cooper landed with all the money from the airplane. It's a lot of like, tonight on Unsolved Mysteries. You know, we're talking about D.B. Cooper. And I'm going like, really? That's an interesting story. In Portland, Oregon. Oh, shut the fuck up. Ooh, yeah. Shut the fuck up. That's my goddamn town.
Yep.
It's like when Tanya Harding, that's when she...
Oh, I used to go to Tanya's bar.
Really?
In Portland.
Like, I used to... I was in sixth grade when that happened. And we used to do, like, they used to show a CNN, like, reports in class. And so, like, in 1 week, they had two episodes based around Portland, or two stories based around Portland. One of them was Tanya Harding. And I remember that, too. And I'm like... What the hell? Who cares that she cracked Nancy Kerrigan on the back of the knee? They're both bitches.
Gave us jokes for years.
Yeah, tons of jokes.
So, but yeah, that's the man's the Sasquatch. Nothing against Oregon. This was a Montana guy. He dressed up. What a fucking pussy. That's all I have to say. Because he couldn't even. And it wasn't even a real Bigfoot costume. It was one of those hunter. I can't pronounce the name of it, but it's those ones where they're,
like
they wear them in the military where they hide
a
in the bush.
Suit?
That's the word.
Yeah.
And so he was trying to use that. So, I mean, just a big fucking pussy. That's
so what,
I'm
he's going to run out in the street looking like fucking Swamp Thing?
Yeah, so it wasn't even Bigfoot.
Oh, goddamn. Like, it was a couple years ago when they had that hoax of like Bigfoot in a frozen in a refrigerator, like a freezer. You heard about that, right? They had like thought they had shoved a Bigfoot, like killed a Bigfoot and shoved the body in a freezer. And then, like, it was meant to be proven to be a hoax and shit. It's like, you figure after all these years, all this time with Bigfoot, there would at least be some sighting. And I'm a believer, and I'm a fucking believer.
Bigfoot's one of those things I kind of want to believe in.
Yeah.
And if you grow up in Washington or Oregon, you know, people don't understand that up there, there's rainforest. There are forests that go on for hundreds and hundreds of miles that people literally have not been in for hundreds of years. It's that thick and dense. So you want to believe that there could be something in there.
Like, you want Jacques Cousteau to show up, right?
Yeah.
You know, just go, here we are. Oh, I can't do it. Jacques Cousteau.
Here we are in the Washington forests. We will let them go free. You know,
like,
it's something, I mean,
Oregon especially has like almost every ecosystem.
Oh,
it has
amazing.
Deserts. It has a rainforest. It has all this stuff. And it's just a vast, it's a really cool section of, like, the earth, you know?
But it has my family up there, too, so that's why I don't want to go.
Well, I have my family up there. My family's pretty cool.
So third story.
Third story.
And we're being positive. So this is a nice story. I think this is a nice story. Kitten goes on 100-mile ride on Jeep's bumper. Because I know you love cats.
Well, we have the three kittens.
Yeah, and by the way, did you really have the vet cut their claws?
No.
Did you do it yourself?
No, I didn't. I did not. I paid the vet because, quick backstory. Last Saturday, we had all three kittens fixed for free, right? Which is awesome.
Right.
And then it was, they said, do you want us to just trim their nails for $5 a cat? And I said, yes. So because one of them, they're feral. So one of them is just so terrified of us that we get near her and she swipes. And she hides in a drawer all day long and she barely comes out. So
sounds cool.
So we're trying. She's like the bottom drawer cat. You open up, you're like, I want to get my shirt. She gets so mad. So it's like, I'm trying to work with her, but she's swiped at me a couple times and she's gotten me. So I'm like, if I can get you drugged and have your fucking nails trimmed so it doesn't hurt me as much, then I'm going to pay that lady $5.
So the scratches are worth the $5.
Yeah, I'm not saying.
Because we cut our own cat. We trim our own cat's
claws. Your cats are docile and chill. My other two cats are docile and chill. These kittens were found underneath a barrel down by the river.
Are you going to keep all three of them?
Yeah. At this point, it's like a straight-up shit machine in our goddamn litter box.
Well, now that you add that cuteness, maybe you could get another one. This one, this woman found a six-week-old kitten in her bumper and says that it rode for over 100 miles. And it had to, because she didn't stop. And they had to cut this cat out. So somehow it crawled into the bumper of her Jeep in the back and then rode for 100 miles. And the only reason is they pulled over and they heard the meowing and they had to search the entire thing and they finally found it. Like, and they had to cut the bumper to get the cat out of there. It wouldn't come out.
Wow.
So, and they've named it Pumpkin. I have no idea why. But she did break a paw during the ride. But So that's, I think it's a neat story that a cat, I mean, 100 miles, you never, how often you hear about a cat, 100 miles?
No, it's actually really cute.
Now, what's the, so what's the thematic thing through, and actually, without you even knowing it, because of your little story about the three, about your feral cats, and how you would rather pay someone than try and do the work yourself, you became one of the stories. So actually, all four of these stories have a recurring word theme that runs through it. What do you think that is?
Herpes.
No. Pussy! We have Kardashian pussy. We talk about her pussy right there. We talked about this fucking pussy-ass guy up in Montana who's the Sasquatch who did that. We talk about you being a fucking pussy because you won't trim the nails on your feral cats. And then we talk about this cute little pussy that rode on the back of the thing.
Eat a dick. Yes, eat
actually,
a dick.
Five, because they're pussies. You are pussy because you will not trim your pussies.
How am I pussy? Because I'm going to... Okay, so here's the thing. Also, the one cat that swipes at us, there's the three cats. One of them's really lovable.
Swiper, no swiping.
Yeah, I know, right? Swiper, no swiping. Most racist show on television. Dorothy, little Mexican girl, climbing over fences, digging dishes, swimming around. What are they teaching you? Anyway, but no, that's the thing is these cats, like, one of them won't let us touch her. She comes near us. She hangs out near us all the time, but she won't let us, like, pet her.
I've dated girls like that.
So have I. You know, usually they've been molested, but anyway. So, Daddy.
This segment is brought to you by the Child Molesters of America.
NAMBLA.
Arming strippers NAMBLA. Everywhere.
Yes. They're single mothers. Anyway, no, but then the one's a love, one's like a total like lover boy. The other one, all three are girls, I found out. So one of them's a total like this like lover. The other one is, she hangs out near us, but she won't really like let us get close. And then the other one's like, I'm going to be a hermit living in the back. You come near me, I'm just going to like, you know, go at you with everything I got. So we're working on with them. We're working with them right now, but I figured we got them here. It was a free spaying. I mean, I can't really be, you know, like, it would have been like $150 otherwise for all three. So I'll pay them $15 to at least, you know, because they're also like clawing at stuff and they're, you know, like, it's just
pussy.
Fuck you.
Pussy.
Just fuck.
I have an extra pair of trimmers. I'll give them to you so you can go learn how to cut your cat's claws.
I have trimmers I use on the other cats.
And that's the news. We need to take a break.
Yeah, we'll be back.
Matt's still a pussy. We'll be back on the Valhalla Lounge with Eric.
I'm Matt.
The pussy.
Hello, God. Can I have a word with you?
Come on in, Gabriel. Come in. Look, I just created this. It's a weasel chicken. Half weasel, half chicken. What do you think?
Very inventive, Lord.
Wow. The weasel ate the chicken. Did not see that coming.
God, I really think you need to sit down for this.
Tell you what, since I'm God, I'm gonna do both. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's beyond comprehension. The Lord God is sitting and standing at the same time. Pretty cool, huh?
Yes, Lord, very cool, very cool. But you need to hear this.
All right, what is so important, Gabriel?
Well, I've got some disturbing numbers. It appears that your poll numbers have dropped past a very important level.
Poll numbers? I'm not running for office. I'm a deity for life.
Well, that's the thing, sire. You aren't a deity anymore.
What are you talking about?
Well, it appears that, according to recent polls, the level of belief in you has fallen below 50%.
So?
Well, since more people don't believe in you than do, well, since there aren't enough believers, well, you don't exist anymore.
What are you talking about? I'm right here.
I know, but the problem is, as far as humans are concerned, you don't exist. And if not enough people believe in you, then you really don't exist. It's sort of an existential conundrum. Santa Claus had the same problem back in the 30s.
But there is no Santa Claus.
Exactly.
So what do I do?
I don't know, sir, but we might want to make a statement.
I haven't made any statements in thousands of years. Why would I start now?
Just let me know how you'd like to go about all this. I'm gonna go start laying off the angels. The severance package is gonna be a bitch.
Wow. I feel like I exist. I'm here, I'm there. I'm everywhere. Although I don't feel quite as omnipresent as usual.
Yo, Dad, what's up?
Hey, son, listen, I'm really not in the best mood today.
Well, I can cheer you up with this.
Jesus, why are you giving me a teddy bear?
Well, you told me to get you a bear.
No, I told you to go cut your hair.
Oh, really? Oh, man. Sorry, man.
don't do that in here. Jesus H. Christ, what happened to your lip?
Well, I was trying to see if I could microwave a burrito so hard I couldn't eat it. Burn myself a little bit. But dude, I ate it.
My only begotten son.
You know it. So what's bumming you out, Dad?
Well, it turns out that less humans believe in me than don't. Apparently, the atheists are taking over the Earth.
Well, they do have better parties.
What?
Oh, nothing? Parties are so what? Big ass deal?
Unfortunately, it is a big deal. Due to a completely unexplainable mystical level interweaving of philosophy, mythology, and religious gobbledygook way beyond your misunderstanding, my existence depends on their belief.
Well, that makes perfect sense to me, bro.
How high are you right now?
Dude, I'm looking down at heaven.
Anyway, I'm having a bit of an existential crisis.
Maybe you should go and walk about, Dad.
Walk about?
Yeah, like an Alligator Dundee. It wasn't Comedy Central last night. You need to figure things out. Wonder the world like Kung Fu.
Wow!
Oh, man! Team Z's on. I think they may have caught me coming out of Boa last night.
Walkabout.
And we're back. Segment three.
Yep, final segment of the show.
The Valhalla Lounge.
Important segment out there.
You, by the way, you've been telling me we're getting the downloads are going up.
Downloads are going up.
Downs are up, and uploads are down.
Well,
sideways are back.
Uploads would be down if we did well. No, they're average because we do one a week, so uploads are staying steady.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes
sense.
You got me there. I thought I was being clever.
Logic.
But the downloads are heading up.
Yeah,
I got an email from someone the other day. They posted on my fan page, and they're like, love the show. Love the high quality of it. And I was like, I don't know if they're talking about us or the sound.
I would like to think us more than the sound.
We are high quality.
We are high quality people. That is right, folks. Valhalla Lounge, high quality shit.
Well, it all changed when we decided to show a little discipline.
Yeah, that will help out because first, you know, because it's always like a little bit of time to get your kinks out. And
you
got to
concentrate,
system.
Go to camp, you got to do the whole thing.
Yeah.
So this is our last segment today, and we talked a little bit about entertainment last time. We try to do like one entertainment segment.
Yeah,
but today was a bigger.
We live here, so it's like we're
just
always
permeates our life.
It really does. We can't get away from him.
TV shows are coming up.
New shows, yes.
New shows. You've seen some of them.
I've seen what they're showing on Hulu right now.
Okay. I haven't really tried. I got to admit, there's nothing new that's really grabbed my attention.
Vegas looks pretty cool because I like Michael Chiklis and Dennis Quaid.
I do. I looked into this. I couldn't figure out. Is it a reboot of the Robert Urich show, or is it just like a completely
new
show?
I think it's a whole new show. I'd have to go look that up too. But to me, it feels like CBS is really trying to rein in like the Boardwalk Empire crowd.
It's Nick Pileggi that did the guy who did Casino and the guy who did he's behind it. So it looks cool. I've seen all the billboards; they're everywhere. If you live in LA, you know when new shows are coming.
Well,
out.
I was driving in West LA the other day, and I came across like every bus I saw and every bus park bench, whatever, had a Boardwalk Empire season 3. You know, Steve Buscemi's face, and I was like,
"It's a great photo."
I just finished up the first two seasons, so I'm like, "Yeah."
So I mean, we've got New Girl posters everywhere. That new Mindy show.
Yeah, I'm like...
Let's go through them one by one.
Okay, so New Girl's coming into season two. I loved New Girl season one.
Okay.
Because I didn't really care for, like, the pilot, but then once they got into the characters and you get into, like, you know, who all the guys are, they're pretty funny.
Yeah.
And they ended on a really high note. You've got, like, Once Upon a Time's coming back. I hated the season finale for that. I thought it was just crap. I didn't like how they ended it. I'm not even sure if I'm even going to continue watching this season.
But Grimm's coming back. I know you're
Grimm's,
a fan
no,
of that.
Grimm's like four episodes in.
Oh,
like,
is it?
I've already watched them all, yeah.
I really, like, I just, nothing has grabbed my attention. We've been watching movies.
Grimm is good. Well, you don't have Hulu, but you have Netflix. You don't have Hulu. The thing is, though, Grimm takes time because Grimm falls into that trap that every TV show on a network does.
Yeah.
When they do the 21 to 22 episode, you know, seasons. The first couple episodes establish the world, the middle 10 establish characters, and then the final 10 generally have an arc, right? And so then now they establish that in season one of Grimm, and now in season two they're finishing up storylines that they set in motion in season one, and it's gotten a lot better. Like, because if I was watching it and I had trouble like concentrating on the show, then it's like I'm kind of like, you know, checking my phone, I'm going in and out, everything like that. But Grimm's gotten better. The Mindy Project is pretty funny, actually. Like, I was a little turned off because, you know, to me, she's Kelly Kapoor on The Office.
Yeah.
And it's not like she's getting a goodbye. She's just leaving because The Office is now entering into its final season and everything like that.
But she left. They offered her, Fox offered her a deal before known.
They offered her a deal expecting the show to end with Steve Carell. And that's what happened. And so, but she is going to be coming back to The Office, so she will be doing double duty on both shows.
Mm-hmm.
But she'll be coming back a couple times to kind of just show up, and then I think when they end it off and everything.
Yeah. I'm not a huge Office fan, so.
I think it hit a new stride this season.
My thing with The Office is, and we're supposed to be talking about new shows. My thing, just briefly with The Office is, I never locked in because I've never worked in that kind of environment. And to me, it's like, disgusting, because and to anybody who works in cubicle or office, it's not that I think you're disgusting, it's just to me it's like akin to like death row, suit being in the cubicle. So I never got into the show because it's like I just don't like that world.
I started to
watch it, but it's never rung true with me.
It doesn't really ring true with me either. I've never worked in an
office.
It's like
a show like you turn it on.
But when you work in a job like for almost a decade, which is what I did at the drive-in, and you work with these people and you realize that they've all worked together for a very, very, very long time. And they know each other's idiosyncrasies and they know each other's ticks and they know how to fuck with each other.
Yeah.
And they're there for each other when it's necessary. And you kind of get into that family element of working in an office. And that's kind of what The Office did. I never really cared for the UK version. I think Ricky Gervais is funny, but I thought the first season of The Office, you know, American, was trying so hard to do that awkward,
mm-hmm.
you know, like just kind of cringeworthy television, which is what Parks and Rec did on the first season too. And you're just like, I don't like it.
Honestly, the other thing too, I hated Steve Carell on that show. I love everything he's done except for he annoyed the living fuck out of me.
Get to like season three and it calms down.
Yeah.
And then by the end, but when Steve Carell left The Office, dude, I was in tears.
Yeah, that's true. Because I saw and then they did stuff like his movie and all that. And I'm like, that was cool. Okay. We're supposed to be talking about new shows.
Okay. New shows.
What's the biggest.
Revolution
high profile
is the new show
is.
Coming out. So, and you were saying you're like, I don't want
to
fucking.
I have no desire
shit.
To watch that show.
They apparently did a big thing about it at Comic-Con. They had like ads for it everywhere, and I did not know what the fuck it was until I got home, and I watched a trailer for it on YouTube, and I was like, I like post apocalyptic.
I love the idea.
It's the thing is though. Do you know what it's based on? What if it's based on a book?
No, I thought it was just J.J. Abrams.
No. It's based on a book called The Change.
Okay.
It's called The Change. The event is called The Change, and it's set in the Emberverse. That's what it's called, the Emberverse, right? And so in this Emberverse, there's apparently, like, power, batteries, anything electronic no longer works, guns no longer work, steam engines no longer work.
And that's all in the show?
And that's, no, but they've altered it. Guns still work, but it's not like a lot of guns. It's, you only see like two different kinds of guns in the pilot, and it's like, they got like black powder rifles, which I was a scout, so I shot a lot of those things, and my stepdad owns one, so I know how they all work. So it makes sense, like, oh, it's a flintlock, you know, like they have to tuck it down, and
that doesn't even make sense.
It's just because they're trying to conserve. I think you know they're trying to conserve the ammunition.
But you saw the okay. Now you're talking about the book or the movie.
I'm talking about the pilot.
Okay,
the pilot.
So let's just
talk
about the pilot because the book.
This is what I know about the series.
Just the book, though.
I don't know about the book.
No, I mean, sorry, just the show.
Here's the thing. As I'll give you, for those of you who don't know, it starts off and it's like the first 30 seconds deal with the power outage.
Now I've heard now I heard that that part was the best part of the entire episode.
No, the last like 10 minutes pretty dope. But okay. What it is the it's a 43-minute, 56-second pilot, and it needed to be 90 minutes long. It needed to be a 2-part opener because we need to establish that the world is over, not just show it in the first like 2 minutes of the episode, right?
Yeah.
And then it goes 15 years later, and everything's run over, and they have a little communion, and you know the guys are there and whatever with his kids, and his wife had passed away, but he's got a new British doctor girl that he's fucking, and it's kind of like there's no character development. That's the problem. There's not a lot of character development.
That's one of the things I'd heard.
And then all the males in the show, like the young teenage guys, are like very clean cut, not dirty. Like they show the one guy in the promo with like the blue V-neck on, and he's got the bow and arrow, and it's just kind of like you see him and you're like, dude, you're really clean cut for a post-apocalyptic world. Even the girl, like the lead girl Charlie, she's got like a leather jacket on and like her midriff is showing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've seen the preview. To me, I think the preview is horrid looking.
It's the preview wasn't the best, but it got my interest enough, and I will continue watching it. But the pilot was directed by Jon Favreau.
Yeah, I heard
And then it's got Giancarlo Esposito, who was awesome as Gus in Breaking Bad, and of course he was the mirror in Once Upon a Time, and I found it to be enjoyable because it starts off, and yes, they're establishing the world, and they have like one character who goes with them. He's like a friend of the dad's, and they show him die like in every trailer, so you know the dad dies, and he's just like, I used to work for a company called Google, and I was making $80 million a year. And now I got nothing, you know, and it's like, okay, that's kind of a, you know, whatever. And then it feels kind of, you know, like they walk from like New York area to Chicago, takes like 30 seconds.
The thing about the Cubs in the preview, that was funny. I find that highly amusing, but.
Well, they don't explain anything about like, why things are happening. They give you at the end of it, you find out like who the villain is and like where he fits in.
They're trying to get the power turned back on.
The thing is, in the trailer it shows like the little thumb drive thing on like the pendant, and like a woman turns it on, and she turns it on, and it like basically like powers a computer. She goes into a network, and she's like, they didn't find it. It's like, well, now what? I don't know. Cliffhanger. You know, I mean,
that's all I have to say.
Your description
is putting me to sleep. Yeah. Nothing against your description, but just like. And I saw the preview. I'm like, the fight scene looked cheesy, and the filming looked cheesy, and I noticed, like you said, like the wardrobe looked bad. It just looked
It looked too clean.
It looked like when back in the 80s, when we were kids, and they would do like some show about the ravages of space, but they hadn't got gritty yet. It was like everybody still looked really good. Like Star Trek, their hair was perfect in every episode, even though they just had a fight. That's what I felt like when I was watching.
Well, the thing is, this is also the pilot. So I look at it like it's just the pilot. And that's going to be that. So
NBC has not had good luck with these big.
No, NBC hasn't had good luck in general. Yet they still produce, in my opinion, the highest quality shows out on TV at the moment.
That'll change.
That's
once 30 Rock's gone. Once their Thursday night's been hacked up. Yeah. Once I mean,
as long as they keep because they've moved Community to Friday night, but that's okay.
Community's dead.
Community's dead. Community's been dead since halfway through last season. They went on hiatus for like. Halfway through the year, and everyone freaked out, and then they came back with like the rest of the episodes and then gave them a 13 episode season 4 because at that 13 episode mark they hit 88 episodes, which means they can go into syndication.
Is it 80? I thought it was 100.
No, 88.
Is it 88? No.
88. Okay. So that's how they can go into syndication now. And so when they go into syndication, NBC will make even more money and things like that. So there's that. So then the other show that I saw, and I'll wrap it up because we got a few minutes left on this episode, was The New Normal from Allison Adler, who is she's the partner of Sarah Gilbert.
Mm-hmm.
And also worked on Chuck and a few other shows.
Glee. I mean, they're pitching it as like from the creators of Glee.
And then it's from Ryan Murphy, the creator of Glee. And it's about this 20-something-year-old woman, 25-year-old woman who had a daughter when she was 16, and she doesn't feel fulfilled in her life, and her husband's cheating on her with some Asian chick, and her mom's an overly racist person, and her daughter's kind of like this little nerdy hipster kid. And she leaves like Ohio, and she – after it was so weird because like they show – two lesbians carrying a baby, and she's like, oh, they're so pretty together, so happy together. And she goes out to LA and ends up, you know, deciding she wants to be a surrogate mother for this gay couple. And it's kind of like, I'm like, it's kind of a sweet setup for a story. I get it. It's very much trying to be Modern Family. It's trying to do all that element where it's like gay, straight, old, new, you know. And there's so much racism thrown into that from Ellen Barkin. And not just like gay. She's like, we need to address the big gay elephant in the room. And then the guy's like, you're talking about me, aren't you? You know, and that's kind of funny. But then she's like, there's like a, like he's got that, the really gay guy's got like an Amazon African-American blonde haired woman that like thumps around. And she's basically admitting that she steals from her boss to buy herself things. She's like, see this watch? This is my gay boss bought me. He don't know about. And it's just like, is this funny? Is this interesting? And then they get into a fight and the girl pulls out her phone and she's like, this is live streaming on Twitter. And I'm like, as a social media person, I want to tell you that you're wrong. You can't live stream shit on Twitter.
You can't live stream.
You can live stream. You can live stream from your phone, but it requires Ustream. They did it for the Occupy.
They always make it like an average person is just like they it takes a little work to figure out how to do it.
Yeah,
it's not,
it does.
Just, you know.
And I honestly was watching the show and I laughed twice. And when it was over, I kind of felt like I'd, like 30 minutes of my life had been wasted and I was almost offended.
Now, that's NBC though, right?
That's NBC.
That is the new NBC because you've got that.
Yeah,
you've got
NBC.
You know, they're trying to, they're shoving that fucking Christina Will show down everybody's throats.
Which one?
The one with.
Oh,
Applegate.
Up all night. It's not funny.
It's funnier when the kid is not in the episode.
Yeah,
anytime
also,
they send the kid off to the babysitter, you're like, this could be funny.
And they moved, the thing is, though, they had that on Wednesdays at 8, and then they moved that to Thursdays, and they switched it with Whitney. Mm-hmm. Whitney is also getting a season 2, but they're back on Friday after Community. So they're moving Community and Whitney to the death slot. Mm-hmm. Whitney's actually a pretty fucking funny show. My only, and I actually went off on one of the she's a new writer. I met her at an event.
Yeah.
She's a new writer's assistant going into that show, and I went off on her and everything I thought was wrong with the season, mostly because, and this is going to get me a lot of shit, I'd like to say this openly first off by saying I'm totally 100% cool with gay people. I don't give a fuck what your sexual preference is. When it comes to pop culture, I really, really, really feel you're doing a disingenuous service to your community by shoving it down everyone's throat. Instead of letting it happen organically and naturally and introducing a character as being gay, which is totally fucking cool. It's like, it's kind of like in True Blood, right? Like Lafayette and Jesus, you know, people were kind of weirded out in season 3 when they start making out, right? Like, oh, two gay guys making out on whatever. And I'm going like, actually, they're kind of cute together.
Mm-hmm.
And then in season 4, you're like, oh, I feel really bad for them, you know, because they're a cute couple.
That's organic within life.
Exactly. Yeah, whereas in like the new normal, it's Justin Bartha, who you know from The Hangover and you know from other projects where he's not gay, obviously not gay, playing a gay person with an extremely effeminate gay man.
Yeah.
And it's just like, now you're just trying so hard to shove this thing down everyone's throat because you, I mean, even with like the DNC right now, the LGBT community has a really big presence there. And that's kind of where things are going. Again, totally fucking cool. I'm all for gay marriage and equal rights. But as a consumer of pop culture and as a person who watches television shows, I really get sick and tired of this. Like United States of Terra, this is what I'll leave it at. I don't know if you've seen the show. All the seasons are on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good show. I recommend watching it. You have the daughter who's kind of a whore and the son who's kind of a, you know, they paint him as being a mo, right? He's very proper. He wears like bow ties and vests and cardigans and things like that. He likes to bake and you're going like, oh, he's gay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Obviously, they're setting him up to be a gay character. A couple episodes in, you realize he's hanging out with like the hipster crowd. Oh, and he's hanging out with the girl a lot. And they kind of have a thing going on. Like it feels like they have a thing going on. Like, oh, he's not gay. He's different in that regard. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, fucking finally.
Mm-hmm.
They're establishing this thing. They're not putting any gender elements on it, but they're allowing this to happen, in my opinion, in an organic sense. And then two episodes later, he's sucking faces with the pastor's son. And then he's been confused about his sexuality for the next couple seasons where he starts dating a very effeminate guy, cheating him with another guy. And I'm going like, every time he's on screen now, I tune the fuck out because you took something that felt organic, that felt real, and you established a hold on it or you changed the element to suit a demographic that you didn't really need to force it on to try to get those numbers.
Because it's sexy. It's buzzworthy.
It's
get
buzzworthy,
more, yeah.
But it's also Showtime, and they also had Queer as Folk and the L Word, so they really wanted to pull in that audience.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is pandering, and that doesn't do very well. And there's a reason why the show was canceled after 3 seasons. I'm not particularly saying that was the reason. It kind of ran its course. But to me, I got so frustrated at that. Now when I see this on TV shows, I want to just yell at the writing staff because I'm like, Stop treating us like we can't handle this on a normal basis.
Mm-hmm.
Bring us a gay character that's set in the real world. I want to see a show like Roseanne, right? Like Roseanne with a gay family, with, you know, a gay couple that adopted kids or had their surrogacy, but they handle the everyday problems. They handle the ups and the downs through comedy in a way that feels more real and feels like it's something we all can relate
to. It's not like every episode is going to be about the fact that, you know, the gay homophobia of the week.
Yeah.
So it's like you've got 22 episodes and every episode is like, this week the mailman hates them. This week it's the principal hates them.
But that's a lot of what Ryan Murphy does, because and Allison Adler is a lesbian and Ryan Murphy is gay, and in those programs, those themes are very prevalent, very strong. Mm-hmm. Again, totally cool with that.
You don't need an entire television slate of it.
No, it's like it's kind of like mix it up a bit.
Yeah.
Mix it up a little bit, play it at all sides of it. Like even Roseanne, like I keep going back to Roseanne because I think that's one of the best television shows ever created. Mm-hmm. It's instantly rewatchable. You can go from beginning to end anytime and still just get into it because we've all lived those kind of lives.
Yeah.
And that's my beef with television this time around, because instead of taking a socially conscious issue and handling it in a mature and appropriate way, they're taking the same issue and they're just cookie-cuttering it to a style of a format that's not going to resonate with the general populace of America because they don't want this shoved down their throat. They may be open to the idea. We've seen a shift now in social tones for like gay marriage and gay rights, even though it's still battling like, you know, the Prop 8 people and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But it's a gradual process.
Well, there's the pendulum argument. See, it's got to swing over does. Before
and,
it swings
back. And you
back
look at
middle.
Like Modern Family, and the way Modern Family handles Mitch and Cam's relationship is beautiful. I love mm-hmm. those guys as a couple mm-hmm. on that show, because it's not, they handle it in a way that you tell that they love each other. It's not really about that they're gay. It's about that they love each other. And right. yeah, Cam's flamboyant and he has his little tics, and Mitch is kind, you know, you can kind of tell Mitch is the top. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Cam's the bottom, and you get the establishment. But the way they play it is something, again, it feels yeah. you feel for them. So that like when sense. when they kissed on the episode, because they kissed this last season, that was a big thing. Like Mitch and Cam are going to kiss. Right. And I watched it and I'm like, it wasn't like they're sucking face on screen going down to blowjobs. It was a peck on the lips. It's on ABC. So they are very conservative and socially conscious.
Disney.
But they handled it in a way that would not alienate an audience, that would not get them to lose viewers.
Which is ironic because it's on ABC and Disney is one of the
biggest anti.
Well, which is funny because Disney, and we really are running long.
Yeah.
Disney is well known as one of the most externally, on the outside, they're all about oppression of homophobia or oppression of homosexuals, Christian agenda, family values, all of that. But if you've ever met anybody who's worked at Disney, they're one of the highest employers of homosexual employees in California, if not the country, to the point, I believe they even they were one of the first companies to really extend benefits to gay partners and all yeah. of that, but it wasn't well known. And it's just it's like the episode of South Park where Mickey Mouse and the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah.
Go watch it. We've got to stop this. So yeah. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll be back next time. Check me out on Twitter, at EP Erickson, and over there.
I'm at M Jarbo. Also, you can find the show on KZOMRadio.com. Find us at KZOM Radio on Twitter, or just look us up on Stitcher and iTunes. Really, just go to the Google machine, type in Valhalla Lounge. You'll see two links, one in French, one in normal English. I don't know why the fuck it's in French. But click on the normal English, subscribe to it, or subscribe to French. I really don't care. And then check
leave
out
some
the show.
Comments, too.
Leave
like
comments.
Some
we want to know if you guys think that we rant on too long or, if, you know, whatever, let us know. We want
there
know.
You go. And also, one last thing is if you have a business or a company and you want to advertise on the show, let us know. We'll work something out.
Yeah, totally.
So thanks, everybody. I'm going to go have some lunch. So
I'm going to go fight traffic to drive home now.
There you go.
All right.
See you guys later.
See you.
Bye.
Are you lonely? Suicidal? Sweaty? Would you like to pick up the phone and speak with that someone special? Are you offended by vulgar, dirty words? Then we have just the girls for you.
I want to dingle your dangle.
Call 1-900 I'm a pussy. Need baby talk?
Coodle your doodle.
Need more?
Oh, I want to wheedle your needle.
Are you morbidly obese?
Oh, I want to base your drumstick in my shake and bake.
Are you a Trek nerd living in your mother's basement?
I want to live long and prosper on your Enterprise.
Are you one of the chosen people?
I want the puppets your tokas as you wear your yarmulke.
Are you a virgin?
Dude, man, what the f***? You're still a virgin? Go out and first and get some experience, you know, and then come back to me, you know? I need to be big. I need a big washing machine like the Swedish cab driver. I need you to I need you to put me on my Kermit and Miss Piggy. I need you to face. And then I want you on top of that hotel roof tower I like so much. And I want you over again in front of everybody. Big, bumpy, yellow doors. I like it against the wall in the I like it at Planned Parenthood. I like it at the Salvation Army. I want you like a big fat you got that? And then at the end of it, I want you to take me to a nice fancy restaurant and I want you to a black burrito.
1-900, I'm a pussy. Where your fetish is our pleasure. Unless you're a virgin.
I want to yank your crank.
Mom!
Hey everyone, welcome back to part two, Valhalla Lounge. My name is Matt.
Sitting, I'm Eric.
That's Eric over there.
Waking up.
Yeah, waking up with this weird knitted cap head thing.
I have to keep my hair up.
Whatever,
dude. I have a
meeting
today. I have to look good.
You have to look good. I have to get my hair done.
No, seriously, it's like when you get, because those of you who haven't seen me, when you have long hair, because my hair is like down to my shoulders, you actually have maintenance, and it's a trade-off.
Yeah.
But it's fun to have, but you got to like do shit. It's like being a chick. And when you're married, it's kind of neat because my wife's like, oh, she has long hair. She knows all the tricks. And I just listen. And here's what I do. It's great. And I look good and I get jobs and I can't complain. So
that is better than me right now. So yeah,
I can't complain about that. We all have our ups and downs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said before, like I'm doing the social media now with the comedian and everything. And that's going pretty well. So
social media.
Yeah.
That brings me to the thing. Did you hear about Angelina Jolie and her tweets?
I heard something.
Okay.
But for people at home who don't know,
Angelina Jolie is really hot. Oh, sorry. I thought we were talking about things everybody knows.
Oh, wait, you mean Angelina Jolie 2005?
Oh, I still would do her.
She was good looking in Salt, but there was a time where she was looking like Jenna Jameson thin. Right.
Oh, she got that. She did go like in Wanted. She was a little.
She was a little bit like, you know, a little bit just. You're going, just, honey, just, no, I have a couple burritos.
Well, anyway, she was tweeting about the whole Rob and Kristen thing.
Yeah.
Yawn. You just yawned over there. It's like, well, nobody cares about Rob and Kristen.
Rob and Kristen, people cared like 2 weeks ago when it was a thing.
Well, supposedly they're going to care more because of the VMAs, and they're like now talking about like how they're not going to be at the VMAs together, but they're going to show footage. And I really don't care. Haven't read the books.
Yeah,
haven't seen the movies.
They're showing the new trailer for Twilight.
Yeah,
right.
It's like, God, is it almost over?
It's almost over.
The thing that Angelina tweeted is basically she said that she thinks the whole Rob and Kristen thing was a total thing made up by the studios, that it was all PR, they were never really a couple, and that people just bought it hook, line, and sinker. And we'll never know. You know, unless Rob does a tell-all book one day something.
The thing about that I don't get is that's a 4-year plan. That's a 4-year con. That's not like a, you know, oh, who is Jennifer Aniston getting dicked by in the moment?
Yeah, but I mean, is that really that? I mean, even in this day and age with the internet paparazzi, if you put enough money into something and enough, I mean, Twilight's a $1 billion property.
Tell me about it.
You know, this is like, if you put enough time and money into it and sat them down and said, okay, look, here's an NDA. You guys are going to walk out of this multi-millionaires, but you have to keep your mouth shut for 4 years, you know, and then it was set up and they broke up and they got more, you know, whatever. Is it possible? Do you think somebody could keep that kind of a secret for 4 years?
The fact that here's the thing is in 2010, Twilight did a Twilight convention. They did a 9-city run, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was big. All the stars were there, right? I think at least for LA, but they did a 9-city run for this convention. And then they stopped because they realized it probably wasn't economical for the studio. So they went back to Comic-Con and did the whole thing there. And this last year was really big, especially with the woman dying in front of it, which oddly enough, no one at the Twilight panel mentioned the woman's death.
It really, you were down there, but up here on the news, it popped, it was such a little blip,
it
went away.
But down in San Diego, because, I mean, it was Comic-Con, it's huge, everyone was like, did you hear that woman died for fucking Twilight? right? I mean, even I was cracking jokes and I was catching some shit about that. But it's kind of like the Twilight stuff. Yeah, it's a multi-billion dollar franchise. The movies totally suck balls. But there's a lot riding on this. And this is the last one. I don't understand why. I've read the synopsis of the book. Nothing happens. So I don't know why it needs to be two movies.
Yeah, but nothing happens in The Lord of the Rings, too, so... it's a movie about speed walking. That's what it
even is. The trees fucking walk in that movie.
It's all about walking. But anyway, whether or not they could do it,
yeah,
it's nothing new. I mean, it's been going. Yeah. I mean, geez, since the beginning of
Hollywood.
Film.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's not even just the beginning of film. It's the beginning of pop culture. I think. You know, I mean, look at like I'm pretty sure Amadeus, right? You know, when he was the big thing, and when he was around, I'm pretty sure they sent him out. You know, they said, you need to go to these parties. You need to go to these things. People there are going to be talking about you.
Right.
And they're going to get other people to talk about you, and it's going to help increase your fame.
Absolutely.
Liberace. No one knew he was gay.
He basically told people, and they still didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, look at him.
Yeah. I mean, if people didn't believe Liberace was gay, no one thought that Elton John was gay either.
Nathan Lane, like, he's never I think he has. He has now.
He's
but
come out.
Years ago, he never addressed it, but somebody did an interview with him, and it was hilarious because he goes, are you gay? He's like, I'm not going to address that, but let me say something. I'm in my 40s, I'm single, and I sing show tunes. What do you think? And it was in print, and he's like, at that point, he was just like, look, think whatever you think. I don't need to say
it. I love
it. Eventually,
Lane. That guy's great. Like, he's hilarious. But it's like Kevin Spacey did that very similar to that, too. Someone asked him, oh, are you gay? And he goes, like, I don't talk about my personal life. Because I don't want that to interfere.
No, I just get caught in London parks in the middle of the night saying I was walking my dog when I got robbed by this young man.
That happened?
Yes. Big time. You know, he lives... Yeah, anyway.
No, I'm pretty sure he's gay. And you know what, though? Who cares? We're not far right now from West Hollywood. Where during the Pride Parade, the entire city shuts down and rainbow flags go everywhere.
But it's not just so... That's all part of it, though. You've got, you know... It's like a big guessing game, and it's not just the gay thing.
Yeah,
you know that because that's always like who's gay in Hollywood? Is this person? Is that person? I heard about this person. I saw this person. You know, that's especially in LA. It's a big thing.
Yeah,
but that's like a party game nationwide, worldwide. But the same like who dating who? Was it real? Who broke up with who? But here's the crux of my question. I think, is there anything wrong with that? I mean, you're pulling the wool over the eyes of the public, but you're not hurting them. It's not like you're holding back the cure for cancer. It's not like you're lying to them about weapons of mass destruction. You're spinning a story about whether or not two actors who honestly really aren't that good. I mean, have you seen Rob Patterson in anything else?
He's got a new one
Pattinson,
out called Cosmo.
Patterson, whatever it is.
I liked him as Cedric Diggory in Harry Potter 4.
Anyway.
Yep.
Yeah. My point is, does it hurt anybody? If it's not, is it part or is it just part of the entertainment?
I think that it's part of the illusion. I was on Twitter and everything when the whole Kristen Stewart pictures with Rupert Sanders. And this is the weird thing about that. Rupert's wife, hot as fuck.
Yes.
Right? Liberty Bells, I think, or Liberty something.
She's a model
she's
actress.
She's a model.
Is she French or something? I mean,
she's
I European.
Don't care. I don't care. But I looked at her and I'm like, she is fucking fine as hell. And you look at Kristen Stewart and you're like, she looks dead behind the eyes.
I personally. Right?
Like, I watched Snow White and the Huntsman yesterday. And I'm looking at Kristen Stewart and I'm like, something tells me. See, people tell me I should think this girl is attractive.
I should be a horrible fuck.
And, she's just like, her eyes are like this. And her mouth's kind of agape, and you're going like, am I fucking a real doll? Is that the thing? So it gets to that point, but I think that here's what I think is Snow White and the Huntsman did okay in theaters. Universal greenlit a sequel, which makes no fucking sense.
That she won't be in.
That's not true. They greenlit a sequel, and then it was like the next day this shit came out. Which got people then talking about the movie. So that might have been a ploy, right? Mm-hmm. Might have been a ploy by Universal because they said, oh, here's pictures, you know, here's the stuff comes out. And then it's like people said, oh, Universal is saying that they're not doing this thing now and she won't have a part in it. But then all like the movie bloggers were just like, okay, guys, stop freaking out here. This is not a thing. We have not talked about this at all. There's no, validity to these claims. Stop adding hyperbole to the situation.
Yeah.
And of course, the K-Stew fans are just like, I was, you know, there was
we didn't get a crying guy under the blanket like Brittany.
No. We didn't get a crying guy, but there is a YouTuber out there by the name of Nutty Madam. Nutty Madam's been around since. Oh, no. You laugh because you don't know. She makes, I guess, actually pretty decent living being trolled by fuckers on the internet, but she did a video originally of her watching the first Twilight trailer, and it's her reaction. So you hear like the music and whatnot, and then at one point she like there's like an apple, I guess that's a big thing in the book, and she's like, the apple, oh my god, the apple. You know, because she's British and shit.
I was wondering if she was British.
She is British, and she's like, it's so wonderful. I love it so much. And then she starts crying, and then she starts sounding like Nedry from Jurassic Park when he does that shriek like a fucking raptor, right? And it's just, she's got so many followers and so many subscribers on YouTube, and she gets so many hits per video that she does these over-the-top reactions to Twilight.
Okay, then...
But her response to K-Stu breaking up and the cheating was like a 9-minute rant of her looking in the camera, looking like directly at Kristen Stewart like she fucking knows her, and she's like, how could you?
But that's what I'm saying is, if... And it's not just Rob and Kristen, it's anything, you know, Brad and Angelina or any relationship.
Do you think Brad and Angelina was part of the machine?
Do I think Brad and Angelina... I think Brad and Jennifer Aniston were part of the machine. I think that was fake. And I think Brad and Angelina is... My honest opinion on Brad and Angelina, based on knowing the industry and having met Brad years ago, I think it's a combination of... They do care for each other. I think it's a combination of that, a Hollywood contract, understanding what's best for their career, and a mutual respect for each other's careers, goals, and each other. I think Angelina Jolie on her own is a really great person. She does great things. She has a lot she wants to accomplish. And I think UN, the groups that she wants to support. And I actually think you're going to see her completely retire within the next 5 years.
Well, she wants
and
to start
Brad
directing.
Pitt, same thing. He's got all his architecture groups. He's got his green initiatives. He's got all of his groups he works with. And I think they literally are attracted to each other. I think you can't deny that, but that burns out after a while. And I think they look at it as it's basically a business. And I think a lot of Hollywood couples are like that. Lots of Hollywood couples come together. Yes, there's an attraction, but at a certain part, you realize this is a money-making venture. Setting up you, your children, the studios are depending on you. So this PR plays into that. Like you're the person you're talking about, she would have nothing to, her life would be empty if she didn't have these stories being spun for her. What would she do? Watch her soaps? You know? So doesn't that play, watch my stories. Doesn't the PR, I mean, isn't that part of the whole dream machine then? I mean, if we didn't have the stories about, and some people have argued that this is our royalty. This is the American version of the royal family. Our Hollywood.
It is. I think it's our celebrities, but I think it's getting to a point now with our celebrities where we look at them and I know like you can't say, oh, we're worshiping them now more than ever, but that's not true. You know, look at the Beatles craze from the 60s, mm-hmm. things like that. It's been going on for years. We get these attachments to these pop culture stars, you know, and these unnatural attachments. Like, it's kind of like when Tony Scott died, I teared up. Mm-hmm. I don't even know why I teared up, but I read about it on Twitter and I started just getting teary-eyed. And I'm like thinking about like, wow, this guy has added a lot of value to my life, that things I very much enjoy, and he won't be doing it again. And I was very sad.
But were you sad because there's the crux right there? Were you sad because an artist had died and he would not be creating what you enjoyed anymore? Or was it the persona of Tony Scott was no more? Which isn't as good of one because like he wasn't out in the public eye as much.
It's not like.
But I've heard stories about him, and you know, don't speak ill of the dead. But I've heard stories that yes, he was a pleasant person to be around, but he was a hard ass, and he wanted things his way, and he was very much like, you know, his characters, and it's my way, the highway, and other things like that. Well, do you mourn that? You know, because that's the public.
I'm not
image.
Sure. It's been a couple of years, and I still can't tell you. I still can't give you that answer.
But okay. Michael, we haven't even touched on the fact that Michael Clark Duncan died the other day, which to me was really sad because the public persona of him that you see and the glimpses of his private life looked so similar that I believe that the Michael Clark Duncan that you saw was very similar to the one that he really was. That's sad.
That is sad, yeah. Because actually you posted about it on Twitter, and that's where I found out about it, because I was like, what? I had no fucking idea that he died. And I looked it up, and it's like, oh, shit. And that's why I tweeted out. I'm all like, dude, you kicked ass as a Kingpin. Like, you know, you'll be missed. I loved him as Kingpin in Daredevil. And John Coffey in Green Mile. Like, I mean, he was a very good actor that I think was doing okay in the early 2000s. But then after when he first got discovered, you know, doing that, and then he kind of like tapered off. But
well,
he had his heart attack.
He was in the hospital for months. He's been in there.
Back in July, he was basically out cold for like, not breathing for like 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so the reports are coming out now that there's no way that he was able to come back from that. Like it was just going to happen. Yeah.
Harvey Levin had been reporting some of that it was really bad. And he was like, they're not letting on, you know, how bad it is. And they're like preparing for the worst. I remember him talking about that.
I think that's why he married Omarosa.
They didn't get married.
They didn't get married.
No, or they never made it. Oh, wow. They never made it.
Hopefully, he added her in as well.
Now honestly, some people are about. They're just gonna like. Can't believe I'm about to say this, but I think some of his best work was on Two and a Half Men. Honestly,
really?
You told me once.
I've never watched Two and a Half Men.
He had an arc. I think he did like 3, 4, 5 episodes where he played Charlie's next door neighbor, and Jake the kid is dating Duncan's daughter. And Duncan ends up like hanging out with them playing poker, and Sean Penn shows up in one episode, and there's like the support group, and there's some other stuff. But he has these emotional scenes where he kind of makes fun of his big, you know, thing. And then there's a scene where he's singing like a barbershop quartet with the other guys, and he's singing the bass. I mean, he was having a lot of fun, and you could really see it. And he was able to joke and play with his character more than like the big heavy or something. And I think he really had a lot of fun, and he did some great stuff.
He was
show.
Really funny. Like, he was a really funny guy.
Yeah, that's like I wrote in my tweet. I'm like, I never got to work with him, and that was something I always wanted. I kind of always wanted to do, and I'm like, that's a shame. I'll never get to work with him. Yeah. And that's always, you know, one of the big things. So, but I guess to wrap up this point, the whole thing, and the question still remains: is the PR machine, is there anything wrong with that? Is spinning the tales that everybody seems to love in the tabloids?
I being part of the system to an extent and living here and seeing it in motion and seeing what it does, and that it does generate work. It generates interest. It generates jobs. Mm-hmm. I can't be mad at that. I think on a scale of a person who enjoys pop culture and enjoys the industry, it also sickens me because it's, I don't like being falsely represented or being lied to or being misled. And these celebrity, you know, I think we're at the point now with the 24-hour news system and TMZ and People Magazine and OK and all these other, these paparazzi things, that we just see these changes happen so quick we can't get attached to anything. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of us now are just desensitized to the notion. It's like, who is Jennifer Aniston going to get engaged to this week? That is literally what it boils down to. Now she's with Justin Theroux, the dude who fucking wrote Iron Man 2 and also was the wizard in Your Highness, but whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I just, like, that doesn't make any sense. She was going for, like, John Mayer. She was going with, you know, Vince Vaughn. And now she's with a writer, you know? Like, and I
mean, which really makes...
And even Cameron Diaz now came out the other day and said, I don't want to date anyone in Hollywood. I don't want that. She wants a normal guy. So the question is, would a Hollywood starlet be able to date a normal guy, you know, like a la Notting Hill? You know, that kind of thing. Like, would they be able to, would a normal person like you, well, you and me would be a little bit different. We'd be like, all right, cool. We got our name in the press. All right. But like a normal guy, like a guy who works at a gas station and Cameron Diaz is like, I like you. I would like to take you out. Would they be able to handle that kind of limelight?
Well, we've got to wrap up the segment.
Yeah, we're really running.
You know, Julia Roberts and Danny, whatever his last name was. I mean, he's in the industry, but he was a fucking cameraman or something. I mean, he was like a...
Natalie Portman married the DP of Black Swan.
Yeah, I mean, I think you see some of that because they're on the fringes. They understand the industry, but they're not in the muck of it. And I think that's overall, I mean, I literally think that sometimes Angie and Brad sit around the coffee or the dining room table being like, you know what, there's nothing good on TV tonight. Let's start a rumor.
I think so, you know? Possibly, yeah.
No, about us.
I think that might be a thing. But it's kind of like also, like, just speaking of people getting married, real quick, Agent Coulson from Marvel, right, from the Avengers. Guess who he's married to?
I know. I've read this somewhere. Who is it?
Jennifer Grey. He's married to Baby. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, he's married to Jennifer fucking Grey.
That's a whole segment. Is actually, we should put together a list of people that you would not believe who they're married to. Because there's a lot. They just don't broadcast it. And you're like, yeah. Holy crap.
Well, because when I watch TV shows, I usually go on Wikipedia and I look up who the actors are and I look and see who they're married to.
There's a lot.
And I've come across a lot that are just like, what the hell?
Yeah. So we should do that one day and post. That would be a hell of a time.
All right,
so we're
going
to take a break. We're come back. We're going to talk about the new TV shows that are coming up.
Yes, new TV shows.
So we'll be back. This is Valhalla Lounge. We'll be right back.
Do you love K-Zone Radio? Listen to more shows like The Survivalist, Know Your Legends, and Who'd Win in a Fight on KZoneRadio.com today.